Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's the message, Seeking God's Glory.
Jesus taught us to pray in his master prayer, the model prayer. Verse 9, in this manner pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, O God, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we know that God's will is not always done on earth as it is in heaven. Else, why would we be encouraged to pray, invited to pray for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven? We live in a world suffering the consequences of sin. God's will is not always perfectly done on earth, though He is sovereign over all the events and circumstances of our lives. And yet we know that there is murder and there is hate and there are accidents and there is lust and all the rest that is not a part of the will of God. So we are to pray that the will of God be done. The prayer life of the believer is not twisting God's arm or manipulating God's mind, a feeble attempt indeed, but rather it is adjusting our will to the will of God. It is asking Him to bend our will to His will. It's been said that prayer is not changing God's mind, but finding God's mind. And so in seeking God and seeking His will, we discover how to live. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. The scripture says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have of Him. We can pray with confidence and certainty in the will of God. And nothing, it has been said, that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside of the will of God. And so we pray. We pray seeking the will of God for our life. The way to learn what God wants with our lives is to pray. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But how are we to do that? How are we to pray with confidence, knowing that we're praying in the will of God? How do we discover, discern, develop, and do the will of God in our lives? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in my life, Lord, as it is in heaven. Well, number one, we are to pray for the will of God. Now, that's a simple enough of an idea, but I believe that so many have never discovered the power of prayer in seeking to know and do God's will. Remember that God's will is life's greatest privilege. God would choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had sense enough to choose it. And because most of us don't have the sense and the big picture of what is needed in our lives, we simply need to pray. We are to seek the will of God, asking, seeking, and knocking. Something that we're to long for, something that we're to love, yearn for, and yield to. We are to pray earnestly and energetically for the will of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God. The will of God is not something that we have to do. It is something that we get to do. The Lord Jesus is the example of this. He said, it is my meat to do the will of the Father. Jesus submitted His will to the will of the Father. And praying for the will of God is to pray for His glory in our lives. And when we get His glory, we get our good. God wants what is best for each one of us. The happiest, the best place on earth, is dead center in the will of God. And when we seek Him, remember that God wants us to know His will. He's not reluctant. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it is laying hold of His highest willingness to bless us. Step by step, day after day, God reveals His will, shows the way to those who call upon Him, those who truly seek Him and ask Him. Pray for the will of God in your life. Make it your prayer every day. Get up and face the day by saying, Lord, Your will is what I seek. Your purpose, Your plan in my life. I want to be on Your agenda this day and in the days ahead. Pray for the will of God. Secondly, if you want to know the will of God, that God's will would be done in you, in your life, on earth as it is in heaven, then pursue the will of God. Asking literally means keep on asking. Seeking means keep on seeking. Knocking, keep on knocking. Asking is petitioning prayer. Seeking is perceiving prayer as we begin to discern and discover God's will. And then knocking is persistent prayer. Seeking, knocking, asking. Pursue the will of God. Make it your purpose above all others. Now you say, okay, how do I discover and know the will of God for my life? I want to give you three principles in pursuing the will of God in prayer. Number one is the surrender principle. Listen to the words of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, or I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present or offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That is the surrender principle. The 12th chapter, of course, is on the heels of the first 11 chapters of Romans, which describes the great grace of God. While we were sinners, guilty, judged guilty by a holy God, those early chapters of Romans describe how we were condemned because of our sin, but Christ has given us new life, and there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our lives have been changed and transformed by His great love. And those great 11 chapters, those first 11 chapters of Romans just exalt the grace of God in our lives. And so that's when Paul, the apostle, writes, therefore, because all of this is true, because God has been so gracious to you and merciful to you, therefore, my beloved brethren, because of these mercies of God, I beg you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. In view of the mercies of God, because of what Jesus has done for you, give your life, offer your life in surrender and sacrifice to Him. It's a word we don't like very much, because surrender speaks of capitulation. Surrender speaks of losing, and in a world that glorifies winners, we don't want to have anything to do with losing. And yet, God says to the believer, surrender your life to me. It's the idea of complete consecration, sacrifice, and surrender. And when you surrender to Him, you can trust Him. Some people are afraid. Some are too arrogant to surrender their lives to God. It's pride. Others are afraid to surrender their lives to God. But let me assure you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. When you give yourself unreservedly to Him, He will do His very best for you. You can give Him everything and anything. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. He's not a tyrant. He is our loving, holy, and heavenly Father. He is our dear Father. And we can trust Him with our families, with our future, with our fears. We can give him and trust him with everything. You see, surrender is not limiting, it's liberating. The key to life is surrender. The fact is, if you don't surrender to Jesus, you'll surrender to something else. You'll surrender to chaos or confusion, or you'll surrender to the opinions of others, or you'll surrender to habits that you can't control. You will surrender to something or someone. The question is, will you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you say, yes, Lord? Whatever the question is, Lord, the answer is yes. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, the answer is yes. Because the minute you say no, Lord, he's no longer Lord. You can say no to God. You can say Lord to him, but you can't say no, Lord. That's a contradiction. You see that? So the answer is always yes, Lord.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Seeking God's Glory. Society's answers to questions about creation, same-sex relationships, drinking alcohol, and more are often at odds with God's Word. And in Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, he'll help you think scripturally as you tackle cultural issues that are so prevalent today. CultureWise is our thanks for your gift. And if you become a PowerPoint partner with your first monthly gift today, we'll also send you Lord, Hear Our Cry, a 30-day prayer challenge to empower your prayer life. So call now with your gift or to become a PowerPoint partner. Call 1-800-795-4627. Call 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word culture to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Seeking God's Glory.
Secondly, there is the scripture principle. We're talking about discerning and discovering the will of God. There's the scripture principle to saturate your mind with the Word of God. Listen to John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Not only surrendering to the will of God, but abiding in the Word of God. You can never know what God wants you to do until you first know what God has said. And what God has said is in His Word. So much of the will of God is already revealed in this book, the Bible. And so we are to read and reflect, review the Word of God. We are to meditate upon it, memorize it, mark it. It's impossible to know what God wants you to do if you don't know what He has said. And so we are to study God's Word, and then we're to store up God's Word in order that we might know the will of God. Now, it's impossible, of course, to study the Bible all day long. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can think about God's Word throughout your day. You can review it in your mind. You can remember His promises. You can reflect upon the scriptures. And as you begin your day in Bible study and prayer, or when you attend a worship service like this and you're hearing the Word of God preached, or maybe you're listening to Christian radio, you've been listening to PowerPoint on the radio. So often, we listen to sermons, we go to Bible studies, we sit there and we sit still while somebody instills. We don't mark our Bibles. We don't remember anything that was said. We just go to another Bible study, hear another sermon, read another verse, and forget all about it. What God wants us to do is to hide His Word in our hearts, and then throughout our day to meditate, to consider, to contemplate His Word. David, who is described as a man after God's own heart, said, "I meditate on your Word all day long." And God will bring to remembrance the Word that you need. God will show you a way. God will give you a promise through an open door. God shares His secrets with His friends. God has no favorites, but he does have friends, intimates. And he shares his secrets with his friends. So when you hear a message, or you go to a Bible study, or you read God's word, take it in, think it through, pray it in, and live it out day after day. The word of God and the will of God are inseparably linked together. God guides us through his word. In prayer, we speak to God. In Bible study, God speaks to us. So it is impossible for you to know and to do the will of God unless you are willing to take time to think about the will of God through the word of God. Again, so much of God's truth and God's way is already given. Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Thirdly, there's the spirit principle, the surrender principle, the scripture principle, and the spirit principle. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We can be led supernaturally, subjectively, inwardly, personally, by the Spirit of God. God takes his word, and by his Spirit, then he leads us. John 10, 27, one of my favorites. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We can hear the voice of our shepherd. And we pray, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." And the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, will speak specifically and strategically to us. I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to define this or describe this, but I can tell you, having experienced the Spirit's leading in my life, that when we surrender to Him and when we seek Him in His Word, then He leads us by His Spirit, and we know that we know what the Word says. This is the way, walk in it. God will open a door, or God will close a door, or God will speak through a friend, or God's Spirit will speak through a message, or God's Spirit will just speak internally in our hearts, but God will speak. So be willing to listen to Him, and God speaks when we pray. When we take time to get alone and open up to Him and listen to Him. So pursue the will of God. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to pray for the will of God? "Lord, your will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven." Are you willing to seek the will of God? Pursue it with all your heart, with passion, surrendering to the will of God, abiding in the word of God, and yielding to the Spirit of God. When you do, the fourth thing should happen. If you want God's will to be done in your life on earth as it is in heaven, then practice the will of God. Because Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are to practice the will of God. We don't come to God and say, "Lord, now show me your will and I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it or not." No. We say, "Lord, your will," anytime, anywhere, any cost. We say, "Lord, your will, your way, my will, I give to you." And when you begin practicing and doing the will of God, I heard the great preacher Stephen Alford say, and I've never forgotten it. I heard it as a young preacher. I memorized it then, and I've been trying to live after it, live this word throughout my life. He said, "God is not responsible to lead us one step further than the measure of our obedience to Him." God will not lead us one step further than the measure of our obedience to Him. You see what that's saying? That's saying God's not going to show you more of His will if there are already things in your life that you're not doing for Him, that you know are His will. Why should God lead you forward in disobedience? And so I must be willing to not only to discover the will of God, but to do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I got to thinking about that, on earth as it is in heaven. How is the will of God done in heaven? Well, it's done passionately, it's done perfectly, and it's done perpetually. Think about the angels. The angels are doing the will of God actively, obediently, cheerfully in heaven this very moment. Along with the servants. The Bible says in heaven, when we get to heaven, we're not going to check out a woolly suit, a white underwear, and a harp and sit on a cloud and pluck eternity away. But the Bible says his servants serve him there day and night. Like the angels. Now the angels never go on strike. They never sleep in past work time. They don't take a long lunch or an extra coffee break. They're serving him actively, aggressively, energetically, perfectly. There's no sloughing off in heaven. The will of God is done. And if the will of God is going to be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven, then I need to be praying in obedience to him that I will do the will of God passionately, consistently, and continually. And you know, when we get to heaven and stand before Jesus Christ and bow down before him, all of our excuses for not serving him, not doing his will, not being active in the ministry and the service of Christ, all of those excuses are going to be so lame. Well, I was so busy. Well, I had a job. Well, there were family responsibilities. All these things are important. But so often we use these things as excuses because we're unwilling to do the will of God with our lives. Everything in light of eternity will fade into history. And what's important is not our history, but our destiny with him. Life is doing the will of God. Life is not about how long you live, but how well you live. It's not the duration of your life that really matters. It's the donation of your life that counts. What you give, what you contribute. I've often thought that there are some people in life who take more out of life than they put into it. But the Christian, the servant of Jesus Christ, is always endeavoring in the will of God to put more back into life and the kingdom than they've taken out. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's important in heaven? Think about it. What's most important in heaven? Change lives. People knowing Jesus. Worship. Serving him. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make it your prayer. Make it your pursuit. Make it your practice to know and to do God's will in your life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Seeking God's Glory. Navigating the unsteady ground of shifting culture issues can be tricky, especially in our polarized society today. So we want to help you stand firm for your beliefs by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. This powerful book will help keep you firm and steady as you lean on three key principles: thinking scripturally, living purely, and loving generously. Plus, please consider becoming a regular monthly giver known as PowerPoint Partners. When you send your first monthly gift today, we'll say thanks with a copy of the Lord Hear Our Cry 30-Day Prayer Challenge. So call today with your gift to get CultureWise and please sign up to become a PowerPoint Partner. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word CULTURE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
You know, you can really have a life, a great life, when it is full of the power and the confidence of God. And that life comes through really getting connected with God. The way you get connected with God is to know Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. By his cross,
Jesus made it possible for you and me to relate to God, to know Him personally, and to experience all the blessings of the Christian life. There's really no promise for prayer to those who are not connected with God through Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today, if you have never personally received Christ into your life, that you will this very moment bow your head and pray the most important prayer by simply saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died on the cross for me, you rose again, and right now I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Ask Christ to come into your life. And then, as a believer in Christ, when there are circumstances in your life that seem absolutely impossible to overcome, that's when you need to pray. Don't use prayer as a last resort, but as a first choice. If you want to understand the Scriptures, pray. If you want to overcome temptation, pray. Everything in the Christian life is really wrapped up in the promise of prayer. The Christian life is a relationship with Christ. So think about your marriage. How difficult would it be to have a good marriage, much less a great marriage, if you never communicated with your husband or your wife, if you never talked or conversed? Well, prayer is talking with God. Prayer is conversing with your Heavenly Father. It is so important that you get to know God through prayer, that you not only talk to Him, but that you listen to Him, that you communicate and relate to Him on a one-to-one basis. Prayer isn't easy. We all have to admit that, don't we? It can be very tough work because there's always something to distract us or to make prayer difficult. The phone rings or the problem arises or some difficulty is in our face and we turn from prayer. The Scripture says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God knows that we are weak, that we are but dust, as the psalmist said. That's why He has given us in our weakness His power through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. So beginning today, ask God to teach you to pray and partner and power up with the Holy Spirit. He knows your heart, and He will begin answering your prayers according to His perfect will. Mark my word, you will begin to see power in your prayer life.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Culture Wise, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word culture to 59789. And please consider becoming a monthly giver called PowerPoint Partners when you give. Join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about the only thing that really matters at the end of your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.